I'm very thankful here and ask that you'd pray that the word of the Lord would have free course among us this evening. I pray that you know this man tonight. The difference that he can make in a life. There's a lot of things that I can't do, but I'm thankful to know a man who can. I have a burden tonight on my heart, and I need the Lord's help to deliver it the way that He would have. I'd like to consider the reality tonight of doubts. I'd like to begin in the book of John. I say reality because I believe it's a place that the enemy endeavors to work in many people's lives and minds today. John, the 20th chapter, will begin in the 24th verse. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Now this was after, of course, Jesus' crucifixion and after His resurrection. Whenever there were some on that first morning who received the glad tidings that He's not here for He is risen. Thomas wasn't one of those. Whenever our Lord appeared unto the disciples and those walking on the road to Emmaus, Thomas wasn't one of those. And in the days that followed, the few days that followed, Thomas wasn't one of those. Was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." The disciples who had seen came bringing the tidings, the report, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas didn't have that experience yet. Thomas wasn't there when they had seen the Lord. And I can't believe it. I can't accept this. And he had some conditions in his mind that this would satisfy the doubts that I have. And he set a pretty high mark. A burden of proof for this to be unmistakably true, if it be so. It says, "After 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then saith he to Thomas." Oh, do you get the picture tonight of Thomas in there in his doubts? You know, Thomas has a title, doesn't he? Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas was not the only one that doubted. You know, even though the disciples had the word of the prophets, even though they had the words of Jesus himself, saying, "On the third day, I will rise again." Even though they had that, they all, from what I can tell and recall of them all, they all had some doubts. They all had to see for themselves that this is true. But Thomas, again, those 8 days, Thomas hadn't seen. But whenever Jesus came into that room, he looked at Thomas personally. Folks, I want to tell you, the Lord wants to have such a relationship with every one of us here tonight that it's not just about something that I can get by proximity. It's not just something that I get a blessing from because my parents said that they saw the Lord. Or the saints get together and they say they're enjoying it, and I just kind of warm in the glow of that. But I want us to know that the Lord cares about every one of us tonight. No matter where you are tonight in your journey, The Lord knows. The Lord cares. And he came and looked directly at Thomas, knowing altogether Thomas' frame of mind. And what was it that Jesus said to Thomas? Oh, he sure could. And there was some reproof. But he didn't say, Thomas, come on. 3 years that I was with you, Thomas, did you not believe me any more than this? But he said, Thomas, come here. Thomas, reach forth your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I'm going to tell you, it was a different Thomas. Those doubts were gone now. Thomas had seen for himself. Thomas was now an eyewitness. And where it said the other disciples also at one point had doubts. Their frame of mind was not too good in those days between crucifixion and resurrection. They really weren't of a frame of mind to go out and tell the message. Tell the story. They were closed up within and no doubt wondering, what do we do now? The men walking on the road to Emmaus said, we had hoped. We had believed that he was the one. But now I'm starting to wonder. I've got questions in my mind now. I don't know how to make sense of all of this. But I'm going to tell you, doubting Thomas wasn't doubting after that. The other disciples that doubted when it came their time, when they saw the Lord, they doubted no more. They knew, and that is the experience that the Lord has for every one of us tonight. Maybe we have questions tonight. Things that I don't know how to cause to just the pieces to come together in my mind. I don't know how to make it add up. I've just got some nagging doubts in my mind. I'm going to tell you, the Lord understands doubts. And he's able to satisfy those doubts tonight if we'll come to him. Oh, that burden of proof wasn't too much for the Lord to be able to show. And folks, if we have an honest heart desiring to see, folks, the Lord will come and call your name as well. And I want to say to those of us that have seen, let's be merciful on those eight-day others. Let's be merciful to those that haven't yet seen. That the Lord is still coming to reveal himself unto. Well, think about in the 14th chapter of John here, beginning in the 9th verse. Jesus telling them here that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And in this exchange, we hear from Thomas again. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Lord, you say that as if we know. You said, whither I go, ye know. Lord, we don't know. We don't know the way. I've got doubts. There's things that don't add up here in our minds. And here Philip says unto him in response to Jesus, well, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, then it'll satisfy us. And he told him, have I been so long with you and you've not seen the Father? Folks, our Lord is a reasonable service. Yes. The Lord is able to satisfy those doubts in our minds when we bring them to the Lord. But I also want us to realize tonight that we are living in a world that is bombarded by a spirit of unbelief. The Lord understands the doubts that can come into our minds. But the Lord doesn't want us to stay there. The Lord didn't want that to become and stay Thomas' identity. What is it to doubt? The Greek word means an internal discussion. Debate. Questioning or disputing about what is true. Dialogismos. You recognize the first part of that? A dialogue. Let's be careful with the dialogues that we have in our mind. Paul said, I fear, lest that by any means the serpent, through his subtlety, just like he did with Eve, should be able to beguile your minds, should be able to trick and to deceive you and to get any one of us into a confused or deceived or a doubtful and unbelieving place. Lest the serpent should work that way. Your minds be corrupted away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, how was it that the enemy presented himself unto Eve? He didn't begin with direct accusation. He began by planting seeds of doubt in Eve's mind. He began by asking questions of Eve. Have you ever had questions? Questions about what we believe, what we teach. Questions about who God really is. You ever have questions come to your mind? She heard a voice asking her, "Hath God truly said to you?" You sure that was God? Would he really say something like that? Now, why would he say something? And begins creating this dialogue with her mind. This dispute in her mind. Well, I didn't question it before. I didn't think about it before. But the more I think about it, the more plausible it seems. The more reasonable the argument sounds. Folks, we are bombarded today with voices in our world. And those voices can leave us with doubts. I hear this and I hear that. And I get to a place that I have some doubts now and some questions. Some things that I thought were real solid start to kind of niggle at my mind. Say, well, could it be true? What if there's nothing to it? Luke, the first chapter. Luke 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things, wherein thou hast been instructed. Folks, we need to know the certainty of some things. We need to be able to have some things settled in our minds. There is a place for questions. There is a place that I come to the Lord and just open up and say, Lord, I've got some questions here. Lord, there's some things that I don't understand here. But folks, the Lord wants to do some convincing, I believe. Those things that are most surely believed among us. How surely tonight do you believe? How surely tonight do you believe the things that have been set before you? How surely do you believe what Jesus has done for us? How surely do you believe the teachings of the Word of God? You notice it said, we who are eyewitnesses. Folks, the Lord wants every one of us to be eyewitnesses. The scripture says of our day in which we live today, the gospel dispensation, that no more will everyone say to his neighbor, know the Lord, or let me tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you what he looks, let me tell you what his character is. Folks, I'm not saying don't tell about the good news. The Lord gave us that command. But he's saying no more shall you have to do that. And get a second-hand account of this gospel. But every one of them shall know me. From the least unto the greatest, they all shall know me. They all shall see. Folks, you don't have to have a doctorate to believe and to know the doctrines of the Word of God. We don't need to go to Bible college for 4 years to get a hold of it. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to do some persuading, I believe, tonight. If there are places that have started loosening up, you ever driven a car long enough that you start to get some squeaks and rattles and things are starting to loosen up a little bit. Lord, help us to perform spiritual maintenance. Amen. Whenever some things start to squeak a little bit, things start to get a little bit loose, that I can come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need something here. These things that we have most surely known, believed, that you might know the certainty of these things. I pray tonight, and my burden is that the Lord would be able to convince some minds that may be doubting tonight of the certainty of these things, of the reality of these things in your life and in mine. Folks, this is an experiential salvation. The Lord wants to move in. Didn't He say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock"? It's at your door. And it's at mine. And He didn't just say, "I want to come in and sup with your parents. I came along and I supped with Brother D.S. Warner." But He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." Knocking at the heart's door of those who, the Scripture says that the God of this world hath blinded their minds. Blinded with confusion, with doubts, with questions, with wonderments. I'm going to tell you something. You may think tonight, I'm going to go away from the Lord for just a little while. I'm going to taste of it for just a little while. I know of a young person not long ago that said that very thing. I'm not going out very far. I'm just going to do a little bit of this on the side. And this individual is so far from the Lord today. Not very far gone. Folks, what begins to happen? You get on the territory of the enemy. Folks, we are no match for the enemy of our souls. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to help me in my mind. Every way of a man seems right in his own eyes. I'm going to tell you, I can look at something and I can say, I'm so sure this dot connects to that one, it connects to that one, and it can be totally wrong. Lord, I need to know the certainty of some things. Lord, I need to be persuaded and convinced. Let's look at Matthew, the 16th chapter. Well, before we go there, I do want to pick up a scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 14 and 15. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. What if some should not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? No, God forbid, let God be true, and every man a liar. I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of doctrines and dogmas and beliefs and philosophies out in the world. There are young people here tonight that are maybe going to be going out on the job and into college or whatever your path is. I'm going to tell you, you need to have the helmet of salvation on, because I'm not a match for these kind of things. The reasonings of the enemy. I'm going to tell you, he can come and present himself so plausibly, so reasonably unto me. It said, Timothy, there's some things you need to just stay away from. And I'm going to tell you, there's some philosophies in our world today that we need to just stay away from. If it's not founded on the Word of God. Folks, I don't need the conspiracy theories. I don't need to align myself with political parties and ideologies. I'm going to tell you, my foundation is more firm than that. I've got to stand on something that's not going to be shaken or moved. So he says, be careful. Be careful what you're listening to. Folks, be careful the voices that you're tuned into. Be careful the voices that you're lending yourself to. What we see in our world today is good being called evil and evil being called good. One of the things that is lauded and celebrated is a state of perpetual questioning. That I can never be pompous enough to say I have the answers. That I know the certainty of some things. That it's more noble to say, well, you know, anything's possible. Well, you know, anything's plausible. And you know, it's what I believe the scripture says that the Athenians spent all their time doing nothing else but to hear or to tell of some new doctrine. Well, let me hear that one too. Let me hear this one too. And folks, their mind were so ignorant of the truth of the one true God that Paul said, he that you ignorantly worship, I want to come and declare him unto you. All of these ideas and all of these philosophies that you've been bombarded with, and it's left you none the better but in a confused state. Tonight, has your mind been bombarded with philosophies, doctrines, teachings? I believe the Lord wants to meet us.
Yes, He does.
And shore some things up. Amen. Folks, we have a sure foundation.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the certainty of the foundation. The importance of the foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Folks, the enemy is trying to destroy the foundations today. And I don't want to give him credit for how successful he might have been in our world. But you look at institutions in our world that one time had some things settled. They had some things established. They didn't debate some things. Then now they're confused over. Oh, folks, there is a simplicity in the gospel. Thank the Lord for a simplicity and a clarity of truth that can ring clear to our souls and bring life. All right, now to Matthew, the 16th chapter. As I mentioned, those foundations are under attack. Jesus spoke in this chapter something of a foundation. We'll read that as we conclude in this passage. Matthew 16, beginning in the 15th verse. He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? There's all kinds of ideas and opinions. You know, isn't that what it really comes down to for every one of us? He's not asking here, Peter, what's your truth? You ever hear that? Well, this is my truth. And you can have your truth. This is my truth. Folks, that's not the way truth works. I want His truth because that is the truth. And I want to align myself to that. So he wasn't asking, Peter, how do you identify here? Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter started out with, well, some say this and some say that. That's not good enough. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if your experience is based on, well, the saints say this and I don't know, it seems good enough for me, there's a place for that. There is. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord doesn't want us to stay in a place like that. The Lord wants to bring us to a place that I am persuaded in my mind. Peter, who do you say? And he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to come through a forum online. It's not going to come through chat groups. Chat GPT is not going to give you the right answers on this. But I'm going to tell you, there's a way that we can have truth revealed to us in such a way that it is so clear, it is so evident to me that I can say, I got it. I see it. You know, we can sit in assemblies like this year after year after year and never really get it. Never really understand it for myself. And there may be a place again where I say, you know, it's good enough. I'm satisfied. I don't really need anything else. And well, you know, I don't know. There's some things I don't really understand, but I'm happy enough here. I like the people and they're good to me and enjoy the singing and things like that. Folks, I'm going to tell you there's some storms coming. That if we're not founded on the rock, are going to rock our house. There's some storms coming that if we haven't settled it, it's not going to stand the test. And it's not going to be enough for me to say, well, I have fond memories of going to camp meeting as a child. Thank the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, a time will come that's not enough for you. Those fond memories will begin to fade into the past. And the enemy's going to be right there to say, look what I've got. Look what I've got. Look how narrow-minded you've been. Look how wide and broad the world really is. Open your mind up a little bit here. I've got so much to show you. I've got so much to teach you. But he said, it wasn't flesh and blood, but my Father which is in heaven. And folks, I believe that's the Father's heart tonight, is that He wants to reveal some things. It's given unto us to be able to understand the mysteries of the gospel. Thank the Lord, it's not just an elite few. Folks, this isn't about the ministry. Is on an exalted pedestal that the ministry can have a special understanding and you folks come to us and we'll dole some. No, I'm going to tell you, go to the Lord. Go directly to Him for yourself and say, Lord, I want to see You for myself. I've heard about these things maybe all my life. But Lord, I have to be honest and acknowledge there's some things that I just don't understand. There's some things that I have to say, Lord, I'm just not real convinced about. He went on, said, My Father which is in heaven has revealed it, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks, the gates of hell are being unleashed. We read about in Revelation, without spending too much time there, but we read about the camp of the saints in the last days being compassed about by the enemies of God. Being compassed about, and that's talking about the spirits of false religion, the spirits of paganism that have been unleashed in our world, each with their own subtle ideologies and philosophies that have deceived many. And again, I say, I am no match for it. He said, I'm going to build my church upon a solid rock. Oh, how many organizations and groups have been built and erected for a little while, and time, they just haven't stood the test of time. But I'm going to tell you about a kingdom that has stood the test of time, and one of which Daniel said that it'll never be destroyed. It'll never be taken down. Do you see the kingdom? You know, there was a woman who had heard about a kingdom. She had heard a lot of stories about a kingdom of a king named Solomon. I don't know about that. I've got some doubts. That's some pretty big stories I'm hearing about this kingdom. You know what she said? She didn't just say, I don't believe it. I won't. She said, I'm going for myself. And that's what I want to challenge us with tonight. Folks, if there are some things that you don't understand, may I entreat you tonight? Don't throw it in the ditch. But say, Lord, I'm on a journey. I want to go and see for myself. Lord, is this real? Is this true or not? The Word of God can stand scrutiny. Don't worry. The Word of God and the truth of God's Word will withstand our scrutiny. It'll withstand our honest questions that we bring to the Lord. Folks, let's not be afraid to teach doctrine of the Word of God. Folks, it is life and they are the words of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, these foundations are being attacked. And this foundation that Jesus is talking about, it's not about some man named Peter. It's about what Peter just confessed. He said, Lord, you are the Christ. And he said, the Father's revealed it unto you. That's the foundation. That'll never be destroyed. Just like the blind man that said, I don't know about all your questions and all your reasonings. You go reason among yourselves whether he's a sinner or not. But what I know is that I was blind and now I see. And you can't take that from me. I know that's so. I want to encourage us tonight. If there are some things that you don't understand, folks, there are things that I don't understand in the Word of God. It's okay. If there's some things that you don't understand and that you don't see, some things that aren't adding up in your mind, I want you to get a hold of this. Start with what you do know until the Lord reveals what you don't know. Start with what you do know. Oh, Peter, that's the rock. You've hit it. You hit it right there, Peter. And I'm going to tell you, those disciples that were wavering, those disciples that were so despondent, I believe it's one of the more compelling arguments for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that you've got 11 men who, for 3 days, they were in the most despondent, despairing condition. But something happened. Something happened on a third day. And all of a sudden, every one of them, well, it took a few days for one of them we read about. But every one of them saying of a certainty, I'm going to tell you, the doubting was done. The doubting was in the past. Let me tell you about this Jesus. And the saints in India are happy to tell of the tradition that's handed down of Brother Thomas being the first one to take the message of Jesus Christ to India. Folks, I'm going to tell you, he had something. The doubts were gone. I believe it. I'm willing to go into a heathen land. I'm willing to face the heathens. It doesn't matter how many there are. Folks, if it's truth, it's going to stand. And that's where I want to stand. God will stand by his word. I'm going to have to try to stand by mine. And it's not going to be very strong. It's mighty flimsy if it's not on the word of God. Those disciples, every one of them down to the death, didn't change their tune. You know if this was a fraud? You know if this was a story that was concocted? Come on. At least one of the 11 won't crack whenever persecution's right in the face. But every one of them to the last one, I've got it fixed. I've got it settled. There's no doubts in my mind anymore. Folks, I'm not here to prophesy what the future holds. But I will say we need to have some things fixed, some things settled in our minds. We need to use these times that we have for more than just our enjoyment. Lord, I want to shore some things up. You go down under the Gulf States whenever the storms are coming in, what do you see people doing? They're getting the plywood and they're covering up the windows. You don't do that whenever the winds are 90 miles an hour. Whenever the warnings are coming, that's the time to go prepare for the storms. Folks, I believe we're in a stormy time, but I believe the storms are coming. And folks, now is the time to get some things buttoned down. Now is the time to get some things that are maybe moving around in my convictions, in my beliefs, that are starting to shift, that I look at them over the course of time and I realize I don't stand where I used to stand. Some things that I used to believe with such a certainty, they're kind of slipping out of my fingers. But there are some things that I need to know. I need to know what God has done for me. Don't let the devil tell you, if you've been saved, that you don't really have a testimony worth telling. Folks, know what the Lord has done for you. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know about this thing I'm facing and that. But one thing I know, here's what God did for me. And we come back to that place and we remember that place that God has done for us. We need to know. Tonight, we need to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. Folks, there are some things that we're not to hold loosely in doubt. There's some things that I need to get settled.
That's right.
If I've got some doubts on some of these things, and I understand, folks, the enemy would like to torment us with doubts or with accusations.
Right.
But folks, we can bring both to the Lord. Folks, the same loving master that turned and said, Thomas, come here. You know that the Lord has a way of so lovingly differentiating between accusation and truth. Bring it to the Lord. Folks, we don't have to labor under either. Doubts or accusations. Oh, do you know tonight? Do you know that your name is written there? The Lord has tonight a know-so salvation for us. We need to know some things about the character of God. You know that's really what the serpent was targeting? Her confidence in the character of God. If she could have said, no, I know my maker, I know my creator, and that's not in his nature. I don't want to hear it. Remember, dialogue. That Greek word that we talked, there are some dialogues that we don't need to have. No, I've got that settled. I gave that to the Lord. I committed that thing to Him.
Amen.
Who is God? Folks, again, when there are things you don't understand, come back to what you do know. God is love. If you don't remember anything else, get a hold of that. God is love. Get a hold of Jesus wept. Do you wonder sometimes, does the Lord care about me? Does the Lord see me and what I'm going through? Does the Lord really care what I feel? Folks, get a hold of the simplicity of the gospel.
Yes.
Jesus wept and he weeps over us as well.
Yes.
Folks, that's about the character of God. That the enemy wants to try to undermine and attack the foundations of our faith. We are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence and with an assurance in who it is that we're coming to. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep these things that I've committed unto him against that day. Tonight, do you have a lack? Do you have a need in your life? Jesus gave us the message through Brother James, specifically of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's the character of God. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Folks, there's some places maybe that are wavering that the Lord wants to nail down tonight, that the Lord wants to fix. that I can come with confidence and assurance, saying, Lord, it doesn't mean I have all the answers, but Lord, I know whom I have believed. Lord, I know there's some things that I do know, and I'm not giving them up, and I seek the Lord like the Queen of Sheba until she walked away saying, the half wasn't even told. Folks, that's what it is to experience what God has for us. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. So while the world is extolling perpetual questioning, I want to reiterate there's a time that will bring your questions to the Lord. He welcomes them. But there's also a place that the Lord wants to get them fixed for us. I'd like to close now in the 11th chapter of John. The man who began proclaiming the message, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one who takes away the sins of the world." Came down to a place that he's in prison now. And John sent some messengers, disciples saying to him in the 8th verse, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee." I'm sorry, not that one. Let me find it. Well, if you see the verse, you can tell me, but I'll tell you what I recall of it. He sent his disciples and asked, "Art thou he that we look for? Or do we wait for another?" John, you're the one that said it. You're the one that preached it. You're the one that proclaimed it. What do you mean? Folks, thank you. Is it embarrassing for us sometimes to have to say, "Lord, I thought I had that thing settled. But I got some doubts now. I got some questions. Does that unsave me?" But here, John the Baptist, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Go and show John." What did he respond with? "John, I told you, it's good enough." He didn't send him back to argue with John. You know what he did send him back with? "Go tell him. The things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And folks, I believe it settled it for John. I just needed to anchor it down. I just needed to fix it. Folks, we can come to the Lord with those kind of questions. And what he pointed him back to was the eyewitness evidence. I'm going to take you back. John, I want to remind you. I want to remind you of what you've seen. I want to remind you of what I've revealed to you. And the Lord wants to do that with every one of us. Folks, if we don't have a vision, if we don't have an understanding for ourselves, I believe the Lord would like to meet us tonight. Are you persuaded? Remember, was it Felix who said, "Almost thou persuadest me"? Almost. And he said, "I would that thou wast almost and altogether like me, except for these bonds." Which camp do you fit in tonight? Are you in the almost persuaded? Or the altogether? "Lord, I am all in. Lord, you fixed it. You've settled it for me. I see it." Oh, again, we can hear things said over and over and over, but until the Lord reveals it unto our heart, folks, words aren't enough. Knowledge and information is not enough. We need a revelation from the Father, and I believe that He is a very willing party in that exchange when we'll come to the Lord, just like John, just like Thomas, and bring our doubts to the Lord. But folks, that's the right place to keep him. You take him to the world and you get even more confused. Bring it to the one that understands and cares. Could we stand tonight and maybe sing that song? "I will no longer doubt thee, O Lord." tonight, if there's anyone who has some doubts, maybe the Lord would like to meet you here tonight. Pray for me. Amen.